some of the alternatives is because of the working groups have made suggestions like alignment and those kind of things. Those I say are the things that we, you know, if the public is in favor of that and something that's feasible, they can relieve the pressure, then these are the things that we were looking for in the study, not so much that it had to be a limited access, strictly in my opinion.
I mean, to address that, you know, we are listening. We heard that it's been clear in Georgetown as far as no to the east, no to any bypass in Georgetown. I think I prefaced in my presentation earlier that, you know, the way things stand right now, there aren't any drastic views or opinions that have come in by the time the comment period ends. We will not be considering those two new alternatives and looking at the on-alignment option in more detail or a modification thereof of that particular alternative with regards to limited access. So even with regards to Milford, we did listen as far as the Brown alternative, because originally the Brown alternative was dropped from consideration when we went to when we narrowed the alternatives down. It was asked for, we were asked to look at it again and bring it back, and we did, being responsive to the community. So you know, we hear the message. We need the input as we move forward.
You got to talk to you. It's not
easy. One of my concerns is this notion that you're going to designate a route, but you're not going to have the money in the foreseeable future to compensate those property owners. And what you've effectively done is condemned that property, and you have eroded its value. And as more and more time goes on, the erosion just continues to the point that 10, 15 years from now, when you finally get around to buying that property, you're going to steal it, because nobody's going to buy it with that cloud hanging over it. And I'm concerned that unless you've got the money ready to go to start acquiring property, putting this cloud over those landowners is not fair.
We've heard that, Councilman Phillips. I mean, that's been what we've heard more so recently. We're working with the secretary as she works with the bond bill and other committees as far as the allocation of funds as far as right away construction, right away and design, so we can get some more funds to do that.
One question I got is that I've said that you do a lot. These studies that these millions of dollars always go out for, and they've been studying things since I've been here, nothing's been done. Is required by the federal government to get funding from the feds when you do the highway?
That is the purpose of it. And that's why, you know, we've tried to express or stress to the public about this process, because we want to make sure that we follow the process so that at the end of the day, once a preferred alternative is selected, we'll be in a position to utilize federal funds.
Right. Not that it gets you personally, but working for DelDOT, since I've been here and the committees have sat on DelDOT before I got here, there was always a disconnect and distrust for the public and DelDOT, because the workshops were always taken as we want input, but basically DelDOT was telling the public what they were getting ready to start to do. And that's where the distrust started. The big concern that the constituency has is, yes, this, what Mr. Cole said was true, that this council embraced a north-south limited access highway years ago. However, we never said how to get there. And knowing that the dialogue would open up with the public, and which you suggest routes, and you get to where you are now. Same thing with DelDOT before you ever were born was, they've always been reactive instead of proactive on getting roads and infrastructure in. And you know, if you wait for that to happen, as Mr. Phillips alluded to, if you pick an area to go and you erode the equity of the farmland and the open space that people really want to maintain the quality of life here. And some of the, when you look at the options on the table sometimes, you know, there's going to be sacrifice for progress, and it's your job to find, with the public's input, the least sacrifice. And to be able to acquire the right-of-ways is a long task to do. I know, for instance, I said last week that I think $72 million was put forth 5 years ago now from Route 1 and 20 to 24 over to Love Creek Bridge. And they didn't get halfway. That was for the project. They didn't get halfway across the right-of-ways, and they ran out of money. And I think it's just sitting there spinning its wheels. And that was going to be a way to move traffic east and west with 38% transients coming south. But in this case, I think the concern this council has to have is, you know, we want to protect the rights of the people that we represent. It's our boss. That, you know, we don't want to see any value of their land being taken from them. And if it has to be at some point with their blessing, they're compensating for that. So there's no loss. And in the past, you know, DelDOT has had to take the once in a while when someone got their dandruff, they want to move it. But I think the council, as Mr. Colt said, not to be repetitive, was supportive of the concept or study, but not how to get there. And that's where we're at today, so I don't want to put two cents in this.
Well, I thank you for that, for those comments, Councilman Rogers. And like I said, you know, we are listening. Previously, as far as the department, I know that distrust with the public and the department, you know, that goes over years and decades. But here, what we've tried to do recently over the last 4 or 5 years is really try to rekindle or reestablish that relationship between the public and the department. I know there's times when it doesn't work, but more times than not, it does work, and we're trying to regain that relationship by having public meetings and working individually with folks and doing our best to have that public outreach.
You got a tough job. We do. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, you heard a motion that or comment was read by Mr. Fox. I don't think we should act on that today. If you would get that, Mr. Fox, and give it to Mr. Baker, and we'll take that under consideration maybe next week or the week after.
Yes, sir.
And, okay. Thank you again, Monroe, for coming down. We appreciate that. We got along with the agenda, sorry, we're... Okay, yeah, we're running 30 minutes behind already, so...
Yeah, you can go.
Yeah, if you're just here for this and you want to leave now, that's fine, or you're welcome to stay.
Thank you. On March 13th, the County Council approved a recommendation to purchase a hangar at the County Airport to be used for the new Deltec training program for airframe mechanics. And as we spoke about several weeks ago, the goal of the proposed program is to train Sussex County residents to become airframe mechanics and work in the Georgetown area. PAX, the crane aircraft, has about 160 job openings at this time. Many of these are for airframe mechanics. They employ approximately 400 employees now and plan to expand to about 700 jobs with their new business. The next step for the county in this process is to renovate the hangar that we recently purchased for the Deltec program. Which is on the handout, which is the same handout from 2 weeks ago, is item number 4. We did recently, or just this week, received a very rough cost estimate for the work to be done, and this estimate is from the Deltec architect. Deltec, as part of this process, would be responsible for an estimated $500,000 in equipment costs plus curriculum costs to establish a new curriculum. The estimated cost to the county for the renovation work, and again, this is preliminary, is approximately $500,000 also. Our plan is to closely review the preliminary plans from the architect, make revisions, and proceed with the work if you concur. And the plans, Mr. Mike Kujos is here today, and I think Andy Wright is here also from our building code department. And they are reviewing the plans, and Mr. Jim Hicken is also taking a close look at them. Our current tenant, Kimball's Aviation, is in the hangar until mid-August. If you concur, funding for the renovation work would come from our capital improvement budget and from the property acquisition line item. I did want to mention that the Deltec Board of Directors, considering and hopefully voting on the new program at their next meeting on April 3rd. And with that, we have some representatives. We have one representative from PATS and a representative from Deltec to explain the program. And Cheryl Parker, who is a human resources director for PATS, is here. If you'd like to make any comments, Cheryl, or it's up to you. Come on up here if you'd like.
Thank you. Basically, I want to reiterate what Dave Baker had said. Currently, we have over 160 openings, and this is to support our manpower figures for 2007. Of those 160 plus, about 100 of them actually support our hangar, specifically our mechanics, which are interior mechanics, structures mechanics, avionics technicians, and line maintenance mechanics. Of those mechanics, at least 70 plus openings, we prefer to have the airframe license. This area, it's very difficult to locate individuals with that skill set, so we are really excited to be able to partner with Dell Tech in this certification program, because it will actually train our current pool of citizens here in Sussex County to be able to offer these positions to those employees that are, those individuals that are already here in the county. Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
And from Dell Tech Community College, we have Dr. Leona Smith and Stephanie Smith.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Baker, and good morning. Good morning, President Dukes and council members, council staff. We're certainly happy to be back here. Last November, we came before you and made a commitment to partner with the county to make this airframe maintenance program a reality. And much work has been completed since that time. As Mr. Baker said, we now have a much clearer picture of what it will take to make this a reality. We're definitely facing a significant investment on the part of the county and on the part of the college to bring this forward. So we're here asking today for your approval of the renovation funding for the hangar. And with that decision, the college is ready to move forward with the extensive acquisition of equipment that will be needed, with the hiring of the faculty, with the curriculum development, and with the application for FAA certification. So we also have present Lynn Fawcett, our Director of Administrative Services, and our Business Manager, Bob Earn. But let me turn it over to Stephanie, who will do a brief presentation at this time.
Good morning. Since we were here in October, work has continued to develop the airframe maintenance program. We would like to just briefly review with you what we have accomplished and the tasks ahead, which include creation of the educational lab that the FAA will require to approve the program. Since we were here, we did confirm with PATS the labor market need that they have, as well as the need of other Delaware aviation companies. We've investigated the FAA requirements for approval of the program, including the competencies that students will have to acquire, the content and the learning experiences we will have to provide in the program, the educational lab and the equipment which will be necessary for FAA certification, and the faculty qualifications we have to provide. The Owens campus has committed a department chairperson position to lead the program as well as teach in it. The college implemented an advisory committee in January, and we've begun to utilize their guidance. We've also visited FAA-certified schools in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, and we are appreciative of your purchase of the hangar, which can serve as the educational lab facility. And we have begun to identify potential sources for equipment donation and funding. Specifically, we need to renovate the hangar so that it can serve as an educational lab in order to acquire FAA approval. When this is approved, then we'll be able to move forward to faculty hiring, curriculum development, and equipment acquisition. The FAA requires for certification that the educational lab have sufficient space for students to receive instruction and practice so that they can demonstrate competency in all the areas the FAA requires. It also must hold aircraft, training aids, parts, tools, and materials. There must be separate space for specialized areas with appropriate ventilation, and the major areas I've put on the screen for you. The lab must provide classrooms with computer technology and a specialized library that the FAA requires so that lab activities and classroom instruction are integrated. We've consulted with other schools to try and lay out the hangar in a way that is as efficient as possible. The current hangar is essentially open space. This is a picture of it. And it has no energy efficiency measures. These are the open rafters, and the eaves are not enclosed. This is an example from Craven Community College in North Carolina. And you'll see in this lab the kinds of trainers that we will have to acquire and equipment. There must be areas for welding. And these are some of the welding booths. Areas for sheet metal work. You see here another shot of that same room and the space that we must have for students to work on projects at tables and the tooling that's going to need to be stored. There must be ventilation. This is an example of the type of classroom the FAA expects to see, including the computer technology. And they require a specialized library because mechanics today have to utilize online sources for manuals that they use in their work, as well as hard copy manuals. The college will be providing trainers, tooling, aircraft, computer equipment, classroom and office furniture, instructional consumables every year, and tables, chairs, cabinets, and we are going to be soliciting the support of companies, aviation-related organizations, and funding sources to acquire this equipment that, as Mr. Baker referenced, will cost about $500,000. The training aids alone are over $200,000. We have an ambitious timeline and a lot of work ahead of us. In February, we submitted a letter of intent to the FAA. You finalized the purchase of the hangar. We're hoping to receive your approval for the renovation, and then we will continue with curriculum development and equipment commitments. April 3rd, our Board of Trustees will be reviewing the program, and we expect approving it. With that, on April 4th, we will post the department chair position and begin to accept applications, hopefully being able to hire that person and bring them on board between May and June. And then they will be developing the curriculum, the courses, the lab activities, the manuals, the student projects, and all the evaluation measures that will be required throughout the two-year program. The FAA requires that all of this has to be in place before certification. We're hoping, with your approval, renovations can begin on the lab in August, and that they could conclude by November. If this is the case, between October and December, we hope to be in FAA document compliance inspection and certification process. If all this works, we would implement the program in spring 08. Our first graduates would be in December 09. If the timeline is delayed, either because of the renovation of the facility or the FAA certification process, then we would hopefully begin the program the following fall 08, and our first graduates would be in spring 2010.
I got a question. Could you give us
this is a drawing.
What are the needs of a student? What kind of background would they need to have?
Is there any prerequisites?
Are you working with any of the local school districts to make sure they're preparing some students for this career path? Because I know many times you get students from the local, a lot of our school districts, and they've got to get remedial reading and math and all this other stuff. Are we, is there any kind of coordination going on? And just what do they need?
Good question.
To enter the program, students would not need any specialized coursework, but they do need to be at the college level in reading, writing, and math. They would take the college placement test, and if they weren't at the college level, then we would provide the remedial coursework. And we're always in collaboration with the school districts to try and help them understand what students need to be prepared to enter our programs. But in terms of specialized high school engineering courses, nothing like that would be necessary. If we do succeed in moving the program forward, we will be creating a recruitment plan with the Sussex County High Schools so that students understand what's coming and the pathway and the career opportunities that are available at a company like PATS.
And you said that this is designed to provide opportunity to Sussex County students. Is it going to be limited only to Sussex County students?
Yeah, but we're certainly hoping that Sussex County students will take advantage of it because this will provide them an opportunity to work in the communities where they live.
Will they be given first opportunity?
That's mm-hmm. not our plan.
Not allowed to do that.
I mean, so really, you got no guarantee that this is going to necessarily benefit the Sussex County students over out-of-state students.
Well, the way it would benefit them is that they would have this opportunity that doesn't exist at the present time. There are no schools like this in the state of Delaware. So if a student wants to become an FAA certified mechanic, they have to go to Philadelphia or Washington. They're the closest programs.
Yeah. And, like the University of Delaware charges an out-of-state tuition, which is significantly higher than an in-state tuition.
And so
is that going to be the same case? Yes. Significant enough to maybe help us have a disproportionate amount of Sussex County students there?
It's the out-of-state tuition is 2.5 times the in-state tuition. 90% of our students across the board are from this county.
Right, because it's a community college. And I mean, the appeal is you don't have any dorms, you don't have that stuff, so it's difficult for somebody to come too far away. But I can see them coming from nearby neighboring Maryland counties on the Eastern mm-hmm. Shore. How many students are going to be in this program? If you had it full, what are we talking about?
We'll be able to admit 24 students the first year. In the second year of the program, the college would have to commit another faculty position to it to be able to bring in another cohort of students. But that is something we want to be able to do so that we could have 48 students at any given time.
And I know you all do very well with placement. A lot of your, like with the radiology and some of these things, they go, all of them seem to be placed 100% almost. Do you feel you'll be able to have the same success with placement of these students? I know they need 160 or whatever, 70 now, but they may not need anybody in 2 years.
Well,
what do we do then?
PATS has estimated that they will need to continue to hire about 20 graduates a year for the foreseeable future because they have other opportunities in their company too, and this will provide a career ladder as well as these entry-level positions.
And an indication of, if somebody graduates, what kind of salary would these kind of individuals be looking at?
At a minimum, they would come in probably in the low $30,000 a year, and probably between $1,575 and $1,650 to start.
This question's maybe directed at our finance department. You're asking for $500,000?
Approximately, that's
right. The estimate for the rough estimate is around $500,000.
Is there a revenue stream that's going to be generated above and beyond what the existing hangar would be bringing in that could justify this investment? Will we get 25% more for that facility so that over time we can say, well, really, we're going to recover our $500,000? I mean, we don't get taxes from the employees there, so we can't justify, you know, the revenue stream through the future income tax base. I'm just trying to figure, are we going to start getting into education? Is that a new role of this county?
I think
I mean, I look at it as an economic development effort. We have an opportunity here with a company that is we want to keep here in Sussex County, that has grown from 50 employees to 400 employees, and they have a major need. And working with Deltek, this is an investment for economic development. In terms of a payback, we will receive some additional property tax and transfer tax from new homes or whatever that employees in Sussex County will build and purchase. And, but we do not have a revenue stream like income tax, as you're well aware that the state does.
Do you, as I understand it, this is an existing hangar that's being leased to someone now?
Yes, it's an existing hangar that we actually originally we funded with a loan, and now we purchased it, and we will. There's a tenant in there now until mid-August.
And we're leasing and then, that for how much?
Right now, it's $1,000 a month.
And once all these renovations are made and our $500,000 is in the mix, is it still going to be $1,000 a month?
We typically with Deltek, like with their driver training program at the industrial park, the lease is for like $1 a year or something. It's a minimal amount. And we haven't brought that forth for your consideration. Discussing it with Deltek, we talked about a small, payment, and looked at this as kind of an economic development type effort.
Yeah, Mr. Phillips. One thing we're investing in our future for. We're doing here to create high tech jobs, and that's what we're trying to do. Since the very first visit we had from Pats at the time we came here, we had no idea how large they would be and the potential of the jobs they can bring. And they are the anchor of the airport, and they're the reason that our airport staff and engineering we move forward to do all the improvements at the airport. So they are our anchor out there, and we want to do everything we can do to bring jobs to this county. And really, Pat's Decrane now has created the biggest high-tech job base that's come to the state of Delaware in years, and they continue to grow. And I don't think had the idea. We didn't know that they were going to grow as fast as they are. But it is an investment in our future. Airports don't traditionally make money. They provide a service and bring jobs. And that's the bottom line. And we create a lot of jobs from the very, the industrial park was not full, now it's full. And what has happened in the turn of events that we've been reimbursed by the feds to do, we have to make some investment. And this is an education to get more jobs in Sussex County. Whether the students are from in-state, which I like to see them get a shot first, you open the doors up, and which Pat's has a very aggressive, Crane has a very aggressive staff that tries to get individuals here that are trained so they hit the ground running. The bottom line is we're creating a job base in Sussex County, which in turn they buy homes here, they live here, they buy their clothes and groceries here, and they play here. And that's the whole big picture of what we're trying to achieve. And I think this is a minimal investment to make to bring that quality of jobs and keep them in Sussex County.
There's also, I guess, if you're an out-of-state student, you may end up being a county resident if you get a job locally. So it might bring some that way. Is that good?
I got just one question. I guess it's directed kind of both ways with the Pats and to the college. And I know you probably going to go to the state for funding and that guy. Has the Economic Development Office done anything for you guys? Are they going to be approached? And if they are they going to do anything or do nothing?
At this point, we had to identify the actual equipment needs, but yes, we will turn to them and ask for assistance with the equipment. We're looking at about a $500,000 equipment startup investment on the part of the college. So we will
from
turn,
economic development, hopefully
we will be sure. Seeking assistance, yes, we will, from multiple sources, including them.
Because I know that as far as Pat's, they have been somewhat supportive, weak to say the least, in the Economic Development Office. Even this has been the biggest job bringer as far as the high-paying tech jobs, the Sussex County in years, and yet they're kind of bailing out on us, for lack of a better word. And I just wonder if you guys got more clout than we do, because they certainly don't listen to us. And I just got, Dave, I got one question for you. if we say, okay, we'll pay for renovation, will we be in charge of renovation as far as bidding it out, or will the college be?
The county would be.
The county would be. Well, basically, even though we have an estimate sitting here in front of us, that we know we have a XYZ to do because of the feds, then we'll actually be bidding it out and then do it in renovation. And so the price tag that is sitting here could be less or it could be more, or vice versa.
Yes, we're hoping it will be less. And our building code department is reviewing it. We just got yesterday afternoon, so they're taking a look at that, and Jim Hicken is also looking at it. And yeah, we'll do what we can to try to reduce the cost.
Could you maybe make us party to or a copy of what the agreement looks like? Like, somebody's raised, I guess Vance did, about some of these costs, like who pays utilities and different things. I mean, we don't really know what's going on.
Right. We haven't negotiated a lease.
Oh, so hasn't been determined, things like utilities?
Right, typically, what in our conversations, Deltek would be responsible for utility costs and general maintenance.
That's good enough. It hasn't been negotiated yet. And the other thing is, has it been approved yet with your Deltek, in the Deltek budget?
It will go to our board of trustees a week from today.
Next
week.
I was right.
Okay. Every time I talk to you, the jobs keep going up. Mr. Baker alluded to 400 jobs. How many people actually work there now?
We actually have 410 what we call direct employees, or employees of PATS, and right now we are utilizing a contractor workforce of a little over 100 individuals, mainly because we don't have the individuals here. So our goal is, as we bring on the reps and people train, then we can start to reduce.